Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to have the best and worst things in sports for the week coming up a little bit later this hour at 7:45. So looking forward to that. Dan Lambert, Preds assistant coach, joining us at 8:30. Mike Sando from The Athletic will be on with us at 9 o'clock. And then Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst, at 9:30 as well. So lots still to come today here on the program. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So Joe Rexroad, we've talked a lot about Mike Vrabel. I think he's going to win Coach of the Year this year in the NFL. And he had an interesting comment after the game on Saturday that Teresa Walker followed up on a couple of days later, basically talking about, you know, the question was about Tannehill and his performance after the game. And, you know, essentially Vrabel's response was, as long as I'm the coach here, which is going to be for a long time, it's never going to be about one guy when things don't go well. So that got people wondering, like, huh? Like, is Vrabel, has he signed a contract extension? Is there been something that's happened with this that we don't know about? And, you know, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to say if he has not signed a contract extension at this point, that's probably coming at some point this offseason, because he has 1 year remaining on his deal, and I would imagine that the Titans probably want to get that taken care of this offseason. One move that no one is really talking about that we're going to be the only show that talks about here, Joe Rexroad.
Oh, boy.
Can we start doing that?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be the only show in Nashville that talks about this.
Only show in town.
Yeah. John Robinson also has a contract that runs through 2022. And obviously, you know, John Robinson, I think you and I would agree, largely has done a really good job here with the Titans. Some of the draft picks, some of the trades, some of the free agent decisions have not gone well in the last couple of years. But nonetheless, John Robinson largely has done a very good job. Your job as a general manager is to build a winning team. Titans have done a whole lot of winning over the course of the last 3 or 4 years. My question for you is, I think basically everyone would agree that Mike Vrabel deserves to have a contract extension. What about John Robinson? How do you think Titans fans feel about John Robinson and the idea of extending his contract? If you're the Titans, is it a no-brainer that you extend his contract this offseason along with Vrabel?
I mean, I would say so. I guess I'd be interested to hear what fans say. Certainly there's plenty of moves you can criticize. Absolutely. Things haven't been perfect. It's funny because as you bring this up, what team is looking at Rustin Webster, right?
Was it the Raiders?
The Raiders.
Yeah.
So
that was interesting.
Which is a good example of you could think of past GMs since Floyd, things didn't go so great, and things have returned to being much better since John Robinson became the GM. So this is a big draft for him, big offseason for him, tough choices. You're in a bind because of the Julio move, and we know all the things. There's plenty of things to criticize here, but again, it's like you talk about the window. Oh man, Tannehill, you chose him, and Julio, that, like, this window is closing. It's like, why was there a window? What creates the window? The window is created by choices that have put you in position to have a really good team. That's John Robinson. I don't think there's any question about it.
Well, I agree. Like, I think J-Rob has done a good job, and it's no coincidence to me that the team, basically since he's taken over as general manager, has totally turned around at this point. But the reason I ask this question is because I know that we're going to start to get responses on the text line, like we have just gotten, of Titans fans that want no part of a John Robinson contract extension. Got a text that says no to J-Rob. His main goal is to build a Super Bowl caliber team, and so far he's failed. Has he won? Yes. Has he won when it counted? No, it's coming from a texter on the text.
Well, except 2 years ago when they won 2 playoff games and got to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. They have 3 playoff wins in his tenure, too. It's not like it's just regular season success, empty calories, and no postseason success.
Yeah. I mean,
no, look, they just failed. They just had a miserable failure. So I understand any anger toward the people in charge right now from fans – You have this emotional investment and you have this expectation, and then they fall flat on their face like that. I get it. But, I mean, you got to step back at some point, look at it and say, yeah, you could be in much worse position with another GM. And this GM has done a lot of way more good than bad.
I agree. But I think from Titans fans, like, you'd be hard pressed to me to find Titans fans that don't believe that Vrabel is the right coach as they move forward. Like, I think most Titans fans, I mean, you're going to find some in every fan base. Like, there are some Green Bay Packer fans that want to fire LaFleur right now. I saw a Patriots fan a couple of weeks ago after they got put out by Buffalo. It was like, Belichick's, his time's passed. Get rid of him. So, like, you're always going to find some people that want to move on from the coach.
Yes.
But I would say 90, 95% of Titans fans, probably a little bit higher than that, they're cool with Vrabel as they move forward here. I don't think the number's anywhere near that high with Robinson. I really don't. Like, because I think it's easy if you're a fan to say, all right, well, let's look at the last two drafts. That's not gone very well. Let's look at the decision to trade for Julio Jones. That, you gave up a second-round pick, and that's what you got back. You brought in Jadeveon Clowney. That didn't work. You brought in Vic Beasley. That didn't work. Like, there are so many things you can point to over the last couple of years that you can say, all right, well, I get it. The window to win is now. But he also, in some of the moves that he made, maybe hurt that window a little bit with moves that he's made with people coming in and not working out. Now, again, I agree with you. I think John Robinson's done a good job. I would give both of them an extension this offseason. But I feel like Titans fans view Vrabel and Robinson at least a little bit differently right now.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I would not think it'd be a huge gap. That, by the way, they'll always be tied together. Vray Rob. That's trademarked by me. Hashtag Vray Rob. I think you're probably right. There's a difference there. Now, look, I mean, aren't people mad at Vrabel right now, though, too? I mean, yeah. You can be mad at everybody right now. It's totally fine. You don't have to just be mad at the quarterback. Be mad at the coach and the OC. And I guess you'd be mad at the defense if you want. They gave up a couple plays Saturday.
Strength coach.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, there was
a move made.
There was a move made. And the drafting, you're right. So, obviously, the 2020 draft, I mean, at this point, Christian Fulton is going to be a good player. That is a good player from that draft. You know, you've gotten contributions from Murchison and Jackson at the end of the draft. Darrington Evans, I guess. I guess if Darrington Evans all of a sudden got healthy and, whoa, Darrington Evans next year, then you can look at that draft differently. It's always still going to have Isaiah Wilson as a first-round pick. You know, the last draft, we'll see. I think Elijah Molden is working out. We'll see on Dylan Raidens. Caleb Farley is a huge story for next year, as big as any to me, especially if they make moves I think they're going to make. Rashad Weaver, I think, could be a good player. You know, it doesn't have to end up being a disaster. One of the reasons they're so good right now is because in 19 they went Jeffrey Simmons, A.J. Brown, Nate Davis, Amani Hooker, David Long.
It's not bad.
Incredible draft. That's two drafts ago. That's what you have to have this draft. Now, look, if it keeps going this way, then I think it's totally fair to criticize and wonder about the direction. As far as those moves you brought up, Julio, it doesn't look good. I liked it at the time. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look good right now. Beasley, I think, is Beasley is to me the easiest to criticize because, like, there was nobody else out there knocking down the door to get him.
Yeah.
The Clowney thing, I mean, I liked what Clowney was for Seattle.
And nine sacks this year.
I liked what Clowney was for Cleveland this year. He was not that for the Titans in his 1 year, and he got hurt. So even that one to me, I can't knock the decision at the time. But, hey, if things don't work out, they don't work out.
Raymond on the text line says, 1 out of 7 first-round picks were on the field Saturday. 2 will be left on the team. Be careful. This is coming from Raymond, talking about the future of John Robinson, going back to the first-round picks. Now,
right,
it's different with some of those guys. Like, you drafted Jack Conklin. He was a really good player for you. And then you got to a place where you just really couldn't afford to keep Jack Conklin. I guess you could have. Could have made a different decision.
They tried. I mean, it's not like they didn't. They totally let him walk, but they didn't, you know, they didn't. Cleveland gave more money.
Yeah.
Corey Davis. He was not the number 5 pick. He was not a number 5 pick player, and Adoree Jackson was not 18. I agree. Like, Conklin to me was a good pick. Davis and Jackson end up being not good picks. Rashawn Evans in 18, no, not great.
Yeah.
They're about to give the fifth-year option to Jeffrey Simmons, and that's a tremendous first-round pick. And then we'll see on Farley, but, you know, I mean, obviously, we'll see on him. ACL, all that stuff. Now, the second round, you got, let's see, you got Derrick Henry. You got, you know, you got Kevin Byard in the third round. You got Landry in the second round. You got A.J. Brown in the second round. Second round's been much kinder to John Robinson. Christian Fulton in the second round. I guess we'll see on Dylan Raiders. I mean, like right now it doesn't look great for last year's draft class. It is early, and next year should tell us a lot more about it.
John Michael on the text line says, if you don't think John Robinson deserves an extension, you're an idiot. It's coming from John Michael on the text
line. Straight to the point.
But like we got some more texts to get to when we come back on the other side. It's like 50-50 right now.
Yeah. That's a little harsh, but I can't see it. I don't understand it. I don't understand a Titans fan who, again, I mean, like, you got to keep in perspective. Like, look at the right before John Robinson got here.
I know.
And look around the league and look at the consistency of this team. I will absolutely acknowledge that recent off seasons have not been as good as they needed to be when you've got yourself to this spot. But, man, it's way more good than bad.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Should both John Robinson and Mike Vrabel be extended this offseason by the Titans? We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you later in the show at 8:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Should both John Robinson and Mike Vrabel receive contract extensions this offseason? A lot of people really love Mike Vrabel. The text line has been very interesting about John Robinson so far. There are some that say, are you nuts? Why would you not sign John Robinson to a contract extension? And then there are some that say, yeah, what's he really done? What about the playoffs? Got a text that says, playoff wins don't count for anything unless you have something to show for it at the end of the year, which he does not.
So fire all non-Super Bowl winning GMs. This is going to be a heck of a job market there, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Look, it's okay to be mad at them. Don't get me wrong. Want more. And, I mean, look, if you keep stacking empty or low-yield drafts on top of each other, then it's gonna go poorly for you down the road. But – I, again, point to not even just the turnaround. Again, like two drafts ago was tremendous. I think they've made a lot. They've made more good than bad choices in free agency. And you just can't overlook the ability to find guys, you know, the undrafted guys and the low roster guys who have had to, this year especially, had to step in and do important things. You can't just overlook that. Like, that's having a good feel for players in the league and being able to find guys. That's a huge part of the job, too. It's not just the draft picks, the high draft picks and the high-priced free agents. It's trying to build a winning football team, which he has done.
Chris on the text line says, do people not remember 2009 to 2016? We were combined 50-78 during that time. From 2017 to 2021, we're 50-31. Not happy with how the season ended, but I don't want to ever see 2-14 again. Good news is you won't have to see 2-14 again.
That's
It'd
right.
Be 2-15.
You might get 3-14.
Yeah.
In 2026.
But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Chris.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's right. So there's always that, which is. But I mean, to me, that at some point that can lose out. Like, at some point, just because the last two GMs weren't good, you know, you still have a certain standard that you have to reach as a current GM. And, you know, like 9-7 over and over and over again gets old. But
yep.
Again, they've been better than that the last 2 years. They also have zero playoff wins the last 2 years, and that's the problem. So discontent is good, but I just, to me, it's just wild to think that a Titans fan would want either of those guys out of their jobs at this point.
Glenn from Laverne texting in says, a bad J. Rob is still better than a good Rustin Webster any day of the year. Extend them both. It's coming from Glenn from Laverne. Don't tell the Raiders that. Raiders might be talking a little Rustin Webster a little bit. I couldn't believe that when I saw that yesterday.
I'm trying to think. So let's see. Some Rustin Webster. So Rustin gets credit for Mariota.
Right. Sure.
LeJuan.
Is that something you want credit for?
Taylor LeJuan.
Number two quarterback in the draft. Didn't make it to his second deal.
He had his moments. Let's see. You got Daquan Jones and Avery Williamson in the 14 draft. It's not bad. You know, Williamson in the fifth round. It's not, that's not bad. Ooh, you got some Dorial Green Beckham in there. Whew.
Got Justin Hunter's in there somewhere, too, isn't he?
Ah, some Bishop Sankey, my goodness. Yeah. Well, yeah, like the 13 draft of Chance Warmack followed by Justin Hunter.
Special one.
Good players in the SEC, I'll tell you that. Yeah, there's a lot of I mean, that draft was like a complete zero. Complete zero. My goodness.
Got a texter that says, Joe can't see it, but if the AD at Georgia would have just stuck with good, they would have had Mark Richt too long. If you want to get to Tampa Bay / Rams level, you got to make those decisions. It's nothing personal.
Okay.
So I guess my question would be like,
so that's the Mark Richt comparison. Okay.
Right. But if you're, I'm assuming that's about John Robinson. Like, what's your,
right.
Okay. Who's your Kirby Smart in this situation? I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, again, I have no idea. I'm open to suggestions.
I got a texture that says, only thing I didn't like about Robinson's decisions is not finding a tight end this past year to replace Jonnu. Again.
Yeah. There's plenty.
He's got some work to do.
Yeah. No one's sitting here saying, oh, wow, all these moves are, what are you talking about? These are all great moves. No, I mean, I agree. That was a mistake. I mean, to me, that's like next year on the field, we need to be talking about like the young tight end who is the future of the tight end position for the Titans.
Yep.
And is going to be their starter for a long time. Like that's got to happen. And about a young receiver who's actually, you know, good enough to be on the field. A lot of work to do. A lot of players to cut here coming up soon too.
Yeah. I got a texter that says, for the Tannehill apologists, it makes no sense to give him another chance, but not the GM. Jones was hurt, and when he wasn't used effectively. Tannehill is the reason you don't have playoff wins. This coming from an unnamed texter on the text line.
Of course, Tannehill was the quarterback for two of them. But
I understand that, but you know, like after he played the way he did this week in the playoffs, even the way you view those from some Titans fans is going to change. But like, yeah, he won two of them, threw for 80 yards. Great.
Right. Like, well, people said that before too.
I know it's going to be even louder now, though.
Yeah. No. Hey, look. I think the Tannehill, I think there's pretty universal feeling on Tannehill, at least to a point. To a point of like, I mean, certainly it was his fault. Well, there's some people who are saying, you know, it's more Downing's fault than Tannehill's. I'm not there at all. But regardless, the view of Tannehill from this fan base, from this city now, I think has changed markedly.
Oh, yeah.
And probably permanently. Well, he's going to be the quarterback next year, so he'll have the opportunity.
We spent all last hour talking about Aaron Rodgers. What are you talking about?
Well, hey, we'll spend more hours talking about fantasy deals too, but you know, if Tannehill is the quarterback next year, what are you 95-99%? Is that what you're
95-99% right now? About 97.5.
Okay, 97.5. Okay, yeah. I mean, I'd probably be higher than that. He'll have the opportunity to prove everyone wrong and to maybe, you know, earn himself his own Kurt Warner movie.
Maybe so. Chris on the text line says, I think I'm still burned from my Vol fan days. Remember when UT wasn't happy with Fulmer in 05 and it's been a dumpster fire ever since? I just don't want the Titans to turn into something like the Vols have been. Going back to the Fulmer comparison, I like that. So I guess if you get rid of J-Rob, be careful what you wish for. Well, let's make this clear. Like, the Titans are not firing J-Rob this offseason.
No. No.
Now, I guess the question really is,
you've opened up a can of worms, Robbie.
Well, I guess the question is, like, if you extend Vrabel this offseason and you don't extend Robinson, like, are you just letting Robinson going in next year on a, like, a lame duck contract, or do you want to see him prove something? Like, I would imagine from the way the Titans operate with what Amy Adams Strunk has built here, my guess is both of them probably getting an extension this offseason. It's just my guess.
I fully expect that, yes. And honestly, you know, Vrabel was asked about, was followed up, and I forget who asked, but, you know, on the whole, I'm going to be here a long time, and he said, you know, he said, I'm under contract. You know, it could be done now. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I think they're tied together, even though Robinson was here earlier. And I don't think there's any reason right now to even consider any kind of move. You know, the whole thing with, like, Fulmer, whatever. First of all, if you're going to compare college and pro, I mean, the problem for the Vols is that, you know, what, like, Alabama has done things that you can't do in the NFL,
yeah.
You know. Georgia is doing things that you can't do in the NFL. It's just so different. Plus, yes, it's been bad choice after bad choice, but was firing Fulmer the wrong choice at that time?
It was starting to go the other way. Now, I will say, you did get to the SEC title game the year before you fired him.
But then the 2 years before that were not good, and then 2008 was really
the larger
not
picture
good,
was not good. Yeah. I mean, I was in the building when they lost to Wyoming. Right. That was a tough one.
Yeah. I mean, it's just these tenures end, and I think in college in particular, more than pro, like, once the momentum starts going against you, it is really hard. Because, I mean, so much of this is about what you're projecting and how you're recruiting off it,
yeah.
Right? And that's not this world. This world is just, who'd you pick? What's your bottom line? And you all have to work under the constraints of what the college people don't have to work under, which is a salary cap.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different ball game. And, yeah, look, I don't think there's any question about it. This is a huge offseason for John Robinson and the Titans. The Tannehill discussion aside and what they're going to do at quarterback, I mean, there's some major decisions that you're going to have to make. And if Tannehill is your guy moving forward, like, you've got to really maximize this offense around him. And we'll see if John Robinson is able to do that. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Flitty, who wants to weigh in. Flitty, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hello. Hello.
Flitty, are you there?
It's Flitty, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Okay, I just want to make a comment, guys.
Okay.
Okay. The offensive coordinator can call the play, but I think a quarterback should be experienced enough to look at the defense and make changes. Now, that's just me. I know the offensive coordinator have a certain calls to call, but if a defense is disguised and they know you're going to run the football, then I think a quarterback should be able to change that play, because on that run that Derrick Henry ran and didn't make, they should have passed the ball to me, because they were almost stowed in the box. But the whole thing about it, guys, I talked to Jared about 2 years ago on the radio. John Robinson should have went overboard and whatever he had to do to get Tom Brady here when he became a free agent. Now, if we had got Tom Brady here, we'd probably been bringing ourselves a Super Bowl in Nashville this year. But that's not my comment, sir, and I appreciate y'all taking my call. I'd just like to see what y'all think about that. Y'all take care.
Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate that. We will get back into that coming up a little bit here in just a few minutes and answer that question. Right now, though, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds assistant coach Dan Lambert. Dan, what's going on? How are we doing?
Hey, doing great. How are you guys doing today?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Dan, Big win for you guys the other night against Seattle. You'll be back at it tonight taking on the Edmonton Oilers. What do you like about the way that your group has responded after that four-game skid last week? What do you like about the way you guys are playing right now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, during that four-game skid, we had a tough schedule. We had 7 games in 12 days, and I think it kind of wore us down a little bit. I think we're back to our identity as far as competitiveness, and we've had a lot more attention to detail lately. I think the guys are dialed in, and we know that we only have a couple games here before the short break, but it is a break, and I think we're gonna welcome the break, and hopefully we're dialed in here for the next two.
So, Dan, obviously, Duchesne and Forsberg, these guys have been, you know, consistently producing. Also feels like, you know, when they're on the ice together, they have a really great chemistry. One thing I noticed the other night, it seemed like the first power play really got an extended time on the what ended up being the Duchesne goal. I mean, are you guys trying to give them a little bit more when possible, a little bit more time than maybe you were earlier in the season?
Well, I think it's kind of happened just by, not by mistake, but, you know, at the end of the day, whenever a team or whenever a power play is having success or in the offensive zone, you're not going to pull them off and have them change. You want to keep them out there. And I think the fact that they've been able to really spend some more time in the offensive zone, which isn't as taxing as if you have to go back and break out and back and forth. I think that's one of the reasons that certainly they've been out there more or extended periods of time on the power play. And the fact that they're feeling it, you know, they've been very, very successful at it so far this season. And they're having fun with it. And I think there hasn't been too many games where they've gotten frustrated and they've wanted to come off. So it's a combination. Certainly, you know, we have a lot of confidence in them, and I think they have a lot of confidence in their own ability as well right now.
Dan, you've been around Philip Forsberg for a while now, and, you know, he's always been a really good player. We know that, and his ability is awesome to watch out there. He is on just an absolute roll this season. What are you noticing from him in terms of the consistency in his game, and what do you think's allowed him to be so consistently dangerous for you guys in the goal-scoring department?
Well, we all know that Phil has a very special, exceptional shot when it comes to his release and his accuracy with the puck. And I think the one thing that really has allowed him to have success this year is the fact that he's leading with physicality in his game. And it's not necessarily finishing checks all the time, but it's the power that he plays with when he has the puck. I mean, you see him out muscle guys in the corners. You see him out muscle guys going to the net. And, you know, he is a big, big, powerful forward, and he's using that more consistently. I think we've seen it throughout my time here in spurts, but it seems like this year he's dialed in and he's doing it more often, and it's allowing him to have success.
How are you seeing Philip Tomasino develop? I know sometimes, obviously, you get into the first full season at this level. I mean, it's got to be grueling. It's got to be a kind of learning experience. People talk about hitting the wall and stuff like that. But how are you seeing him respond to everything? Are you seeing more confidence from him kind of as the season progresses, Dan?
Well, it's one of those things where I think for Philip, you know, it's almost an ongoing daily challenge for him. This is new for him. He's never seen the grueling schedule of the National Hockey League. And you know what? He's handled it really, really well, in my opinion. Of course, there's going to be nights where he looks tired, he seems tired, and you know, to his credit, he has pushed through those moments, and we feel that if he, you know, continues to, especially, you know, it's funny, he goes through a couple games where you're not sure, and then next thing you know, he scores one on the power play, or he makes a couple great plays that allows him to have offensive chances. Now, not all of his chances have gone in this year for him, but I think it's just a matter of time, because confidence is a big thing, and at times he oozes confidence, and other times you can tell that he's lacking it a little bit. But, you know, we're definitely happy with his progression this so far this season, and as he continues to grow, we truly believe he's going to be a really good player for us, not only now but down the road.
Preds assistant coach Dan Lambert on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Dan, obviously Tanner Jeannot firmly in the conversation right now for Rookie of the Year in the NHL. I guess from your vantage point, what makes him unique? What allows him to be so consistent this early in his career in your mind?
Well, the one thing that he does, you know, when you compare him to other rookies, the young guys that have been producing and that are talked about when you're talking about rookies, those guys are way, I guess you can say they're more offensively gifted. When you talk about, you know, the Zegerses of the year, of the season, or the Raymonds, like these guys are all skill and highly skilled young players, and they see the ice and they're on the power play, and that's where they have a lot of their successes. Where Tanner doesn't see the power play that much, but what he does see is 5-on-5 competitive shifts every single night. He's out there against everybody else's top lines at any given moment. He's a penalty killer, and he blocks shots. He's extremely physical. He brings an element that those other guys don't bring. And in my opinion, he's a guy that truly is one of the drivers on our team. He, you know, when he's going, when he's physical, which is as we see most nights, and that's how he plays, and that's how he leads, and which is very different. I think it's been a while since the NHL has seen a young player play with the physicality and the emotion that he does. He does a little bit of everything, and it's obviously it's been great for him. He's an unbelievable young man. He's a leader. You know, when you think of where he's come in the last few years, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's been a ton of fun to watch. Okay, so Dan, big one tonight. Let's see, it's 5:39 a.m. where you are right now. You know, night game tonight. So take us through, like, what's this day, like, game day like for you? Like, what's the rundown of the next few hours as you guys go through the day here before the game?
Well, you know, us coaches get together usually pretty early in the morning. It's going to be a breakfast here anytime soon, and then we usually walk over or take an Uber to the rink. In this case, we're going to walk over. It's literally just across the street. We usually have meetings. Well, we do some of our work, then we have meetings for probably an hour and talk about whether it's Edmonton or some of the things that we like from last game, so that some of the things we didn't like, and we prepare for meetings. The first meeting in the morning is usually the power play, which takes place at 10:25. The players come in around 10-ish. About 10:25 is the power play meeting. After that, it's the team meeting that focuses on our team usually, and then it's practice at 11:30. We go through some of the things that we want to work on or things that we want to prepare for tonight. Then it's lunch, a short nap, back to the rink, and then we have our team meeting that focuses on what we need to do and how we need to play to beat Edmonton. So, and then it's game time. So it's a full day, there's no doubt, but game days are awesome. Everybody gets ramped up for them.
Any good poutine in there that you sneak in? You find any up there up in Edmonton?
No, you know what? We typically have team meals, and they don't add poutine to those typically.
Oh, man.
I will say, though, you guys lucked out. I mean, it's 20 degrees in Edmonton right now. It's going to be 32 there today. It's practically summer at that point.
Tropical.
This time of the year.
Oh, absolutely. I remember the last, not during the bubble, but the time before that we were here, it was minus 40.
Yeah.
Here, and it was plus 70 in Nashville, so we were happy to get back to Nashville, that's for sure.
I don't think there's any question about it. Well, Dan, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck coming up tonight against the Oilers, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Thanks, you as well. Preds assistant coach Dan Lambert, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll come back. It's time for the best and worst things in sports for the week. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, as we do every week, would you like to kick us off with your best and worst things in sports for this week? What a week it's been in the world of sports.
Gladly. So my best thing, it's got to be Bills Chiefs. It's got to be Bills Chiefs. There was a great weekend overall, but Bills Chiefs. I'm thinking as I watch that game of the drive. I'm thinking of games that like I will never forget. For example, the drive, John Elway, 98 yards, to beat. Actually, did that force overtime? See, I don't even remember. But it was early 1987. And
poor Browns.
Yeah, sorry, Browns. I think actually that was like, you know, like Vrabel at that time was a heartbroken Browns fan as a child watching John Elway in that unbelievable game. And, of course, the Browns then, you know, Ernest Biner fumbled the next year at the goal line in Denver. Sorry to bring that up, too. But I thought of Dolphins-Chargers 1982. Dan Fouts, 433 yards.
Friend of the show.
Three touchdowns. That's right, friend of the show, Dan Fouts. Kellen Winslow carried off the field. Chargers win 41-38 in overtime. I mean, I'm thinking of just like the greatest games. There's been a lot of great player games. Even the Chiefs-Patriots AFC title game a couple years ago with the just horrific roughing call that helped the Patriots beat the Chiefs. But a fantastic game. That's one of the greatest games I've seen, Bills-Chiefs. Just amazing stuff. So kudos to both those teams. And, I mean, 13 seconds, that's one of those phrases, you know, yeah. 13 seconds ago.
28-3.
Exactly, 28-3. I mean, it's going to stick. And my worst thing, Ryan Tannehill. Now, look, here's the thing with Ryan Tannehill. You know, as time this is the week for everyone to beat him up, and I think everyone's doing that. And it's deserved. This is also an example to me of that position in that sport. Go look around anywhere else you want to look. You know, you can find plenty of great hitters or great pitchers. You can find great goalies, goal scorers, shooters in basketball, golfers. I mean, you can. There are so few quarterbacks, people who can play that position at the level required, you know, to get it done in this game. That's why they're compensated the way they are. That's why the pressure is what it is. And I just don't know how you can watch that game and think that it didn't get to him. I think it did. And it's been an incredible story of redemption for him coming in here and really have engineering largely this turnaround. I mean, he's had a lot to do with it. But things changed dramatically Saturday, and it's just a game that the Titans never should have lost.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. Michelle Knezvik, your best and worst things in sports for this week.
Okay, so I have two quick best things. So my first best thing in sports, Matthew Stafford's wife actually posted on Instagram yesterday, basically this post, and it just says NFC Championship. If you read the caption, she says that she was looking at ticket prices and that they are so outrageously expensive that she's going to buy a bunch of tickets. She told a bunch of fans just to email this email and tell them why you're a big Rams fan or why you want to go to the game, and she's going to give a bunch of fans tickets. So I think that's awesome because
cool.
I haven't looked at how expensive those are. They're crazy expensive. And then also the Chiefs-Bills game. Chiefs fans raised over $173,000 to a Buffalo Children's Hospital fund, and they donated to the Patricia Allen Fund, which was Josh Allen's grandma. So obviously amazing game, raised a lot of money for a really good cause. And then my worst in sports was this week. We all know we've been following Dickie V and his cancer battle, and he has to have vocal cord surgery, so he's not going to call any more college basketball games this year, which is obviously really sad. He was going to call Coach K's last game against UNC. Hard to not hear his voice in the booth, but he said with resting his voice, it's getting better, so hopefully he will be back in the seat next year and calling some games.
Yep. Hopefully, yeah, he's keeping everyone apprised of the treatments. I think he just had chemo today. But, yeah, it's too bad.
Yeah, it is. Would have liked to see him on another call this year. But, obviously, we wish him the best. Hope he gets healthy and hope he's back at it again next year, calling some college basketball games. My best thing in sports, you know, I could go football with this, but I think you guys have covered it pretty well. I'm going to go Ja Morant. 41 points last night in San Antonio. Just, you don't have to watch the whole game, although I would encourage you to. Just go log on to some highlights last night from Ja Morant. Some of the shots that he's hitting are just ridiculous. I mean, it's just otherworldly what he's doing. And most of it's coming in the paint, too. When you think about him going up against guys that are like twice his size, he is just spinning around, jumping over, contorting his body around. He is maybe the most exciting player in basketball right now. Maybe. I mean, there's Steph Curry. There's a lot of players you could point to in that area, but Ja Morant, when you talk about Tennessee professional athletes, obviously we talk a lot about Derrick Henry and Roman Yossi and all these guys here locally here in Nashville. Ja Morant's pretty darn good, and he's put himself firmly in MVP conversation this year.
I mean, he's hitting step-back threes now.
Yeah.
It's something else, man.
My worst thing in sports, the Titans ruined opportunity that I think that Joe Rexroad has laid out pretty well. But I'm going to throw something else in there, too. There's a whole lot of Jimmy G love this week. There really is. Whole lot of love for Jimmy Garoppolo. And it tells me that either you didn't watch the game or you just don't know what you're talking about. Jimmy Garoppolo sucked on Saturday. He was awful. And the fact that the 49ers won that game, it came down to special teams. That's why they won that game. Jimmy Garoppolo was terrible in that game. And now it's like, well, Jimmy G has led his team to the NFC title game. Great. He was like 11 of 19 for 130 yards and an interception, and he probably should have thrown three or four interceptions in that game. He was terrible. So can we stop with the Jimmy G love fest this week? It's unbelievable to me. He sucked on Saturday.
It goes to show you. Oh, did I just like zap the Zoom? I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
It also shows you that, I mean, ultimately just like the result, you know? I mean, Tannehill, as poorly as Tannehill played Saturday, if it, you know, two more completions rather than the pick at the end, and then what's the story? You know, it's like Tannehill found a way. Jimmy G did make a couple throws.
Literally a couple.
Couple that weren't god-awful in that game to get them. But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, wins, losses, it's not a quarterback stat, but that's how people look at it, a little bit too much rather than actually what the performance was.
Yeah. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, worst thing in sports is Stillman thinking he's a GM. What a complete dumpster fire he is. He's like a safety man on a construction site, has no idea what's going on, but wants to tell you how to do your job. Jared Stillman is a safety man on a construction site. I mean, what do you think of that comparison?
I hope he's wearing a helmet.
Or like a traffic cop.
Yes. I like Jared. Jared's putting in some effort on this.
Yeah.
I think you need to take it easy on Jared.
Yeah. Nate texting in says, my worst thing in sports is PK Subban's brother Jordan receiving racial gestures from an ECHL opponent, Jacob Panetta. My best thing in sports is that he kicked Jacob Panetta's butt, who was making the gestures, and everyone is coming to Jordan's defense all over social media. Jacob's own teammates were even ignoring the scrap. Have you seen all this stuff? You know, it's been crazy.
I saw that, you know, I really didn't. I saw that PK Subban had a statement, but I haven't really caught up on it.
It's been nuts. Like, I there's a video out of it that you can go find on social media. Like, I can't believe that we're talking about this in 2022. But it was. I mean, it's clear as day on the video. And then, to Nate's point, Jordan did pretty well whooping up on himself.
And then they fought.
Oh, yeah, they were fighting. So it was quite something. But, yeah, that is taking the hockey world by storm this week.
I mean, it is. It's incredible that we're still talking about it. And it, I mean, I feel like there's something that comes up in hockey every couple weeks.
Yeah.
Am I wrong on this?
Yeah. I mean, it's a problem.
Yeah. Like the end racism slogan's great, but like, man, a lot of work to do in that sport.
This has been the best and worst things in sports. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans and take a look at the offensive line. Who will be here? Who won't when it comes to the Titans and their O-line next year? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.